Fede, welcome to Dead Wax.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. We were listening to, Jack and I listened to like 2 seconds of a song we're going to listen to together. Mm-hmm. And we instantly felt amazing. Right. So I'm so excited to like get into this with you and talk with you about these songs. Okay, Fede Vindver is a Grammy Award-winning producer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist with over 7 billion streams. He has produced alongside Timbaland and has also worked with Justin Timberlake, Coldplay, Kanye West, Jack Harlow, Justin Bieber, Alicia Keys, Lauv, Paolo Londra, Nati Peluso, and much more. Did I pronounce those right?
That was great.
Thank you. Oh, I worked so hard with our pronunciation team on those.
I'm sorry.
Should we dive right in and listen to No Angels by Justin Timberlake?
Let's listen to No Angels.
Which you co-wrote and co-produced.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay,
let's do it.
Here we go.
Here's No Angels, Justin Timberlake.
Pilot on auto. There ain't no angels here on the dance floor. Forget tomorrow. Move like you wanna, babe. There ain't no angels here on the dance floor. All we need is one moment or two. I've been taking my time, it's all about timing. Cause when all sips do what they really wanna do.
What is that formant thing on that? It sounds like an acoustic guitar with a formant filter on it.
I think it was bass with a phaser, or maybe, I mean, it's hard to remember, but knowing the stuff that I usually do, I think it'll be probably a phaser, or there's like this, kind of a formant filter
mm-hmm.
that you can put on guitar rig. There's like one that you can use, and what's cool about it is that you can put like any modulators, like an LFO or an envelope follower, to trigger from the sound. So then you get all these, you know, cool little vibe going.
How does a track, like, can you tell us how this came together? Like, where do you start on something like this? Mm-hmm. Like, do you start with a drum beat? Do you start with the song? Do you start with like a vibe? Where does this begin?
This one in particular, I mean, we work with Justin for quite a bit, and we were working with Timbaland as well, so it was interesting to come into that world because they already have a thing going. So it's like, okay, there's a certain language that they created, so you want to kind of respect it a bit and try to bring something new. And what happened, it was Justin was working with Calvin Harris at the moment, mm-hmm. and on Calvin's album, and he said, Calvin has like these really cool chords that he played for me, and he put it together real fast, and maybe we can do something with it. And he said it was maybe like 3 stems. I think it was like a Rhodes, a drum beat, and a bass or something, or a guitar. I don't remember now. But it sounded cool, but it was much in his world. And it was like, okay, how do we bring it more into what Justin does and what Justin with Timbaland do too? Because, you know, they have a certain sound. So I think we just grab those stems and probably started adding more drums to it because, you know, of course we all know Timbaland for his drum, you know, programming, and it had to had a little bit more of some more beefy sounds because the drums were sort of like more 80s sounding, a little bit more scooped with not a lot of low end. So we kept that stem, but we added a bunch of drums on top. And then JT kind of started writing, trying to remember exactly how he went, but I think he went and wrote a bunch of stuff, and it wasn't really very maybe structured in terms of like, oh, this is the chorus, this is the verse, or it was just a lot of cool ideas. So maybe we brought them in and kind of start chopping things up and moving things up, and instead of thinking, okay, this is the chorus, this is the verse, it was more of just like feeling, oh, this section feels really cool. It goes good into this section. And then after we did a bunch of work, we're like, we don't really have a regular song structure. And I learned that also working with Timbaland, where we talked a lot about Sexy Back, where that song doesn't really have a regular structure in any way.
So turn around and I'll pick up the slack. Yeah.
In fact, you could even say it doesn't have a hook on it. It's more of like, you know, take it to the bridge, take it to the chorus. But it's like him trying to tell you where to go because we don't have a lot of structure going on. At least that's how I think they did it. That's what they told me. But and this was kind of the same thing. And the whole project, it was very free in terms of like structure. It wasn't like, oh, we have to find the hook or, you know, and then we'll mute all the sounds and I put a vocoder on Justin's voice and it's like, oh, that sounds cool. Like that should be a part. And then, you know, what if we filter everything? It was just like very much throwing things to see what happened and with not really thinking, more reacting, I will say, you know.
And are you doing all that in the studio or do you like spend a day like tracking stuff and somebody plays a synth bass and Justin sings and then you kind of go home and work like, you know, in your own rig? Like what? Where are you working?
In particular, in this project, it was all done in the studio with JT and Timbo and Angel Lopez. And, you know, I don't think we ever took the song. I don't remember ever working on this at my studio, to be honest.
Which studio did you?
We were at Conway.
Okay. Did Timbaland program the drums or did you program them in his style?
We did both because there is some beatboxing that comes at the end. And if you guys listen to some early JT, that was kind of a trademark of them to go into a song that then goes into like the halftime version of it. So I believe that's when Tim, I think there's Tim drums all over, but sometimes the way it works with him, he might hear it and be like, oh, I hear this thing. And he might play a loop on Ableton and the engineer will grab it, like maybe play it actually, you know, without even quantizing or anything. And then he'll send it to me. Because all the computers, when we work with him, they're all connected to like a main rig. So there might be 4 or 5 laptops connected to the SSL going into Pro Tools. And then constantly there's ideas being thrown. And then I'm kind of maybe running the master session, but they have to like airdrop me parts to.
Wait, can I dig into that? So wait, there's 4 or 5 laptops connected how to the main console? Like just through?
Yeah, it's just through, everybody has their own interface. Yeah. And that goes into like the SSL at the studio. Or in Eve, in Conway, I think they have an SSL on that room in particular.
So you're getting a stereo out from everybody's laptops.
Exactly.
That's going into a master session, which you're running via Pro Tools?
The master session is being run by, in this case, it was Chris Godby, as JT's engineer. And I'm almost running, like he's kind of collecting stems, but then he'll like send them to me and I will arrange them on my thing. And then eventually when we feel, okay, we have everything, I'm kind of just kind of running the whole session there. But if suddenly, I don't know, someone is like, oh, I hear a keyboard part and they added, the Pro Tools is always running, so they can maybe play it. And then I'll be like, oh, that was cool. Like, can you go back and find it? And then they'll like sync it to my 2-track that's coming in too and then send it over. But that way, you can always be recording and editing and adding things. You know what I mean?
Oh, that is such a cool setup. That's one of the coolest setups I've ever heard.
What do you work in?
In what? DAW. At that time, I was in Ableton, which I'm still nowadays. I use Pro Tools too. I used to use Logic. But yeah, it was everything I think there was done in Ableton. And also sometimes there was some of the guitars were, again, because in these situations, it's all about like the speed more than let's get the most beautiful guitar sound ever. Yeah. So, you know, I think in this one, there was a part where JT might have said something like, oh, we should put some In Excess sounding guitars. And then I had a guitar and I just plugged it in the interface and recorded and always thinking like, oh, we'll do it later the right way, you know?
Yeah.
And but then it just stays. Because you like the kind of demo sound and you can, that makes sense. And then, okay, so then, like, the sounds like this, that wonderful, like, bass synth. Or is that a real bass? Like,
There is a real bass, and there is also, like, a Moog bass that layers it. I always love, like, you know, just maybe cranking a little bit of resonance on the Moog and using, like, kind of the envelope to, like, give it the wall.
Yeah,
kind of sound, and I think that layers with electric bass really good. So there was some layering done with the electric bass, yeah.
So is somebody just playing the, doubling the bass line with the Moog and the resonance cranked? Is that how they're doing it? Okay.
Yeah, I think because it's a lot of people sometimes involved. Like there's, on other songs, might be other musicians, producers, and then he was working sometimes in two rooms because he was doing the Trolls movie soundtrack at the time. So it was the album, maybe two rooms for the album and maybe another room for Trolls. So he'll come in, be with us, then go to another room, like kind of multitask. Wow. And then people from other rooms maybe will come to our room, or we go to somebody else's room and maybe play a part or do something like that. And it was just very free, and whatever sounds good is good.
You know? That's amazing.
How long were you working like that?
We worked for, I want to say, maybe 3 years.
Oh,
because it was during the pandemic, too, at some point.
Three years at Conway, like every day?
Not every day. I mean, it was over, we will do 2 weeks, then take a month off.
Okay.
Then do like another week, take a month off. But, I mean, there was a lot of material. There were so many songs. We ended up picking, or Justin ended up picking the ones, of course, he felt, you know, the strongest about. But I think he just really worked so much in getting all these songs done. And I don't know. I feel like with projects, sometimes you get to work where you do five songs and you release five songs. And sometimes you do, you know, 500 songs and release five songs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, depends on the artist. And, you know, when I work with this new artist that I'm working now called Catriel and Paco from Argentina, which I think they're incredible. They're some of my favorite artists. With them, everything happens so fast because usually they're on tour. So we have 4 days. We're going to go to Spain and we need to write four songs. And it's one song a day. Has to be finished. There's no re-recording vocals, there's nothing. It has to be done because these guys are going to go on the road. We have the release date, and I actually hate it and I love it. I mean, I hate it because you have to work so much and you're always like really like, you know, suffering through anxiety of like, are we going to get this done? You know, it's like, it's like hour 11 and we only have a verse, but then suddenly the last 30 minutes you'll find the whole song. But I love it because I think it makes everybody so focused, you know, instead of like, oh, let's just take a break and let's go eat some food or, you know, talk about life. It's really like, we're here to work. We're going to make it happen. So I wish sometimes more artists had a little bit more of that mentality of like, we have this amount of time. We're going to make this amount of songs. Whatever comes out is going to go out. There's no going back.
was this project, like how many songs do you think you made? Which type? It sounds like you made a lot of songs for this JT mm-hmm. record.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure about the number, but
was it like 100 or was it like 20?
I think there was more in the totality of the project, probably definitely more than 100. I think that
more
I
than
worked 100. On, yeah,
like
I think
like finished songs.
Finished or very close to finish.
Wow.
That I worked on and maybe, I mean, ideas that were sort of like starters that maybe with some vocals. There could be 100 or more, and finished songs, I don't know, maybe like 30, 40, something like that.
Got it.
And you said you worked on it for 3 years, 2 weeks on, maybe a month off, and then another 2 weeks on. But you also said, like, you were going for speed in the studio, mm-hmm. like you're going for speed. Can you say more about that? Why were you going for speed in the studio if you had 3 years and you had, you know, day mm-hmm. after day after day? Like, why go for speed?
I think that most people, and I include myself on this, like, you want to feel like it's a finished record as soon as possible in a way, you know? And sometimes if somebody says, or let's do this idea, I don't think artists sometimes maybe have the patience to, okay, I'm going to wait for you to find the exact sound that I need, you know, especially working with Timbaland and JT, I mean, because they're like so quick at what they do. So I remember always on my days that I work with Tim, where, you know, a lot of times he might be playing a track and everybody's adding sounds or finding ways to fit in. So you might be on your headphones while his track is playing, finding ideas. And when you play it, you don't want him to feel like, oh, this is whack. Why are you putting this on my track? You know, you want it to be like, oh, this is awesome. Like, let's go with this idea. And at the same time, things move very quickly because the artist might already be like, oh, I wrote my verse, let me get in the booth. And you're like, oh, cool, I have this cool part. And it's just too late. Like, now everybody moved on to another thing. So you want to make sure that you get everything done ASAP. And I think when I work, even on my own, I feel the same way. I don't have a lot of patience to, you know, work on a sound forever until it's right. I think it's because I come more from like being a player and playing jazz, where it's more like improvise, and you know, you just want to feel, I like feeling like I'm playing an instrument, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the spirit is like very, it has to be an improvisation. That's why when we were talking a little bit before about, you know, you said you had a day to set your studio up, you yeah. know, I can relate, because for me sometimes it's like I'd rather set a bunch of sounds and ideas, so then when I have to work, I can really build it extremely fast. Yes. You know?
Yep.
Sometimes, even with Ableton or software that does looping or things like that, you might have a lot of musical loops and a lot of drum loops and some vocal ideas. And then it's almost like being a kid and just matching things with each other. But maybe I did a day where I did a lot of drums and recorded drums, or went to a drummer friend and recorded stuff, or I recorded myself. And another day where I did more chordal ideas or bass lines. And then when I have to work with an artist, I might just start pulling different things or pulling from a record. But I don't want to spend more than 5 minutes into coming up with something, you know?
And who are the other, like, who are the five people on laptops in the room? Like, are they other producers? Are they mm-hmm. sound designers? Are they just other creators, friends of Justin? Like, who are they?
No, it's co-producers. I mean, we did this with Rance from 1500. Danger Hands was there. Angel Lopez, Timbaland, myself, Rob Knox. So not that we're all together all the time, but a lot of times he might be two or three people. And sometimes, you know, working with Tim, he was very... You know, he might get a call from another producer that he likes and be like, oh, just come to a studio. And then they will come in with their setup. And it's almost like a jam. I did one time a very interesting jam, thinking about this, where it was with Timbaland and Angel, and it was with Thundercat playing bass, Chris Martin playing piano, Leanne LaHavas playing guitar, and I was sort of playing laptop. And I don't remember if we ever did anything usable, but... You know, it was kind of that, musicians, laptops, everybody kind of creating together. And you find a lot of magic that way. You know?
I love that vibe.
What was that like playing with Chris Martin?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just a very, as a person, incredible human being. And I think he just inspired you by his presence. One of those people that outside of the music, just like, you know, you feel inspired around him and you want to do, you know, interesting or good music. Mm-hmm. And then just a total, you know, genius songwriter, producer, player, you know, just incredible, even rhythm guitar, which is something that, I don't know, is underappreciated, I feel, a lot of times, but just, you know, his pocket on the acoustic and the way he, like, retunes it and comes up with incredible songs in no time, it was beautiful. And just very also in the moment, that's why speed, I mean, when I work with him, sometimes I will have, I might spend like a week just putting together sounds that I think are interesting that will inspire him to do something, because I'm not trying to come in and be like, hey, I have a chord progression for you, you know? Like, he's already amazing at that. I think it's more, I'm going to create a little soundscape thing that might make you think, oh, I want to use that for something, you know? Which one time actually, very early on when we started working together, I played something. I had this little patch I made, I guess, to get a little more technical. It was, it had a delay, maybe an H delay, something like that, where I assigned the pitch wheel of the keyboard, or the modulation wheel was assigned to the timing of the delay. So I could play these synth chords, and then with the mod wheel, then the delay will go and do crazy things. But it was cool because if you get a little practice at it, you could real time make all these weird textures. And I was messing with that, and he's like, oh, that's the opening of our next tour. And
whoa.
I'm like, what? And it ended up being that. Like, whoa. He recorded it for, I don't know, a few minutes. He's like, just keep playing, don't stop. And then he ended up taking that and making it into the intro of the album and the tour and put it in other songs. And that was...
That's so cool.
An explanation of to how you can fit in sometimes with, you know... I mean, that's the thing, as a producer, you try to... You know, it's a service job, you know, how you can be of service to somebody, you know. And I can't really sometimes inspire necessarily an artist, but I try to think with this person, I mean, what is really moving them? Are they into this style of music? Are they into like chords? Do they like very simple chords? Some artists, they love crazy chords. Okay, I'm going to spend some time, you know, and it's not bringing, oh, I have this track for you. It's more like spending time creating little blocks that then when I do the session, kind of out of nowhere, I can be like, hey, here's this thing, you know, and it kind of matches what they're going for.
How often do you prepare like that for sessions? Do you prepare stuff for every session you do?
I mean, sometimes, because I've been doing it for so long, I know if certain artists have similar taste, I'm like, oh, I have all these cool sounds that I already did for this other person or idea, so I'll maybe collect from stuff that I created. But there is a lot of times where it might be a new palette that I don't have, or it might be even myself learn something new that I want to apply. But I do spend quite some time preparing that way. I think some other people or some of my colleagues are really good at maybe making tracks and having like tracks ready for an artist. And for me, it's been harder to do it that way. I mean, at the beginning of my career, I will prepare more like tracks. Nowadays, it's more having ingredients that I can bring, you know, to the session. And it worked out better for me because you leave the space for the artist to, they can really use it. Or sometimes I might play one sound on a keyboard that's cool. And then the artist, if he's or she's a musician, they might be like, oh, wow, I love that sound. Let me just try something. I don't have to do anything. I just gave you what you needed to start, you know? And that's just for the start. Then finishing is almost a whole
different
subject.
Thing.
Yeah.
How does it work when you're working with four or five other producers? What's that dynamic like? Is there one of you that's responsible for overseeing everything and bringing it home?
Yeah. I mean, it can go that way. I feel like I tend to take a little bit of that role in general, because I love the finishing process. I will say it's probably my favorite thing to do, so I try to like think about being sort of the finisher. But the key, in my opinion, to collaborate with other producers is always leave a lot of space. And it's almost in a conversation, like if you tell me like, oh man, I just went to the Bahamas, and you tell me all about your trip, and then I know I went to the Bahamas and I went to the same place, but it's your experience you're telling me. Like, if I tell you, oh, I went there too, it was amazing, and I tell you about my thing, it's like I'm almost like cutting you off from, you know, sometimes you have to know when not to say certain things.
Yeah.
And when you work with other producers, it's kind of the same thing. You have to restrain yourself and know when you are needed. Because I think being on the other side of that, if I'm trying to be creative and there's a person constantly bringing sounds and ideas and trying to do everything, then I'm going to feel like, man, I'm kind of uninspired because I don't find any space. But I think the more you can leave space, make it a conversation and listen, then you'll find exactly what you need to do. And sometimes it's very, very little, but that's what's going to make the music better, you know?
Absolutely. We're going to keep talking with Fede over on our Patreon. It's free to join to hear the rest of this conversation. No payment required. We're going to keep talking about JT. Go to patreon.com/scarypockets to join as a free member. Again, you don't need to pay to hear the rest of this conversation. We'll see you over there.